Blog Talk Radio.
She's an award-winning author, an empowerment coach, and speaker. She's also a suicide advocate who's very passionate about impacting lives of others. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you our sister in prayer, Vanessa Abram.
Good morning, wonderful people, and thank you so much for joining us on this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, regardless of what we're facing, people. We still have to have an attitude of gratitude, because nothing is perfect, nothing is fitting just for our reasoning and style, but God's perfect way is the way that we all want to go. So let's rejoice and let's be glad in it. Hey, today we have a special guest, Miss Robin Hare, Mrs. Robin Hare, I should say, an award-winning author. But before we do get to her, let's talk a little bit about self-discovery. Self-discovery is knowing who you are, knowing who you are not, but yet who you are becoming. And how do you know who you are? You know who you are when you know whose you are. How do you know who you are? You know who you are when you understand your morals and your values and your mission and the vision that God has given you. How do you know who you are? When you have been tried and tested and in the fire and have been degraded or have been downplayed, or your gifts and talents has not been or has been overlooked or haven't even been looked at. How do you know who you are when you stand in the face of a test, when you stand in the face of the very test that is meant to break you, and you stand and you sit in the pain, in the midst of what is and what is to be, but most importantly, what is to come, because the very thing, and listen to me clearly, the very thing that is meant to break you, God will turn that thing around for your good. But the key is having the patience, having the faith, having the hope, and the understanding that God is in there with you. Remember the three Hebrew boys that were thrown in the fire, and when the very ones that threw them in the fire looked in there, they did not only see one, two, nor three, they saw four. And the fourth one was Jesus. So understand that knowing who you are, it allows us to look at ourselves and stand in your truth. What you've done in the past, it is the past. What you have done that is not maybe right or rebellious, whatever the case may be, some of the very things that we have experienced in our life has created us to be who we are today. Without going through tests, trials, tribulations, suffering, we would run around like princesses or princes that really don't have a clue or lack knowledge thereof of knowing what's best for us. Being in the fire allows us to learn what's right and what's not right. Because remember, God did give us the choice of knowing right and wrong, to choose him or not to choose him, to choose the wide way or the narrow. So self-discovery, it begins when we learn who we are, when you look in the mirror and understand that, yes, I did do that then, but that does not define who I am today. Self-discovery is connected to your past. The now connected to the past, which propels you to your purpose. That's self-discovery, owning who you are, knowing that you are not your past and knowing that you are not the things that people say that you are, but knowing in Christ that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. Hey, that is what self-discovery is, and it is not an overnight process. It is a process, a moment-to-moment, day-to-day process. process, you can self-discover who you are. It's never too late. Let's begin to self-discover and become more like Him, our Father, our big brother, so that when it's time for us to go home and we get questioned about our assignments and knowing who we are and did we do the very work that we were given by God, let's make sure that we have the right answer. And the right answer is for Him and not us. So, hey, once again, self-discovery. It is a daily journey. Get in position to prosper, even in the pain that will position you in your purpose. It is self-discovery time. Without further ado, we have Mrs. Robin Hare. She is an award-winning author. Robin is a passionate, inspirational speaker. She is an entrepreneur, and she has a powerful story of an epic journey through many valleys meant to take her spirit, her life, and soul. It evokes sorrow and pain, but also resilience, hope, renewal, and recovery through unwavering faith in God and His promises. Robin facilitates events that encourages, inspires, and it provides survival skills and biblical tools to help women find the courage to overcome toxic relationships, financial devastation, and identity crises. Hey, without further ado, we are the next voice that you will hear is the award-winning author, Mrs. Robin Hare. Are you on the line, Robin?
Yes, I am. Hello, 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 everybody. And hello to you, Vanessa. What a great day in the Lord it is.
Amen. Come on now. Yes, it is. It truly, truly is. Yes, yes. Well, welcome to... Welcome to the Self-Discovery Show with Vanessa, where we are just so looking forward to hearing your story and hearing about your journey and, you know, ultimately hearing about what you have going on where we can invite people to support you as well.
Thank you.
Yes, yes, you're welcome. My first question to you is about self-discovery. How did you self-discover throughout the journey of your life? You know, as you look back over your life, think things over. And I know you and I, we speak often and we share. But as we look back over our life and think things over, and we just know that without a shadow of a doubt, it's God that got us through, and how we got over is through Him. So what are some of those very things that that help you to self-discover who you are and how you begin to transition as that woman and that woman of God?
Well, I thank you for asking that question. I'd like to give our audience just a little backstory about me so that they can understand where I came from, the journey, and to where God has brought me to, if that's okay. Is that all right?
That is all right, sister. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I would like to say, just to kind of, you know, give everybody an idea of where I am right now so you can understand why I'm rejoicing in God for what He has done. Right now, you know, I am living my best life. I am super excited to wake up every day. I'm in love and married to the greatest husband in the world, going on 7 years. My children are blessed and doing well. I'm stress-free, filled with joy, and I'm walking in my purpose. And I just absolutely love what I do and where I am in Christ. I'm a hope minister. I write, I speak, and I plan retreats in several countries to help women, young and old, live their best life by overcoming and rising above devastating circumstances to reach their full potential. And God has blown my mind when I turned my life over to Him and truly became sold out. And I'll tell you, you know, not so long ago, this was not the case. My heart was torn to shreds as my family was ripped apart by divorce after 16 years of enduring mental abuse, control, and serial adultery. My financial situation was bleak. I had no job, no place to call my own. I lost my home, cars, and depleted my savings. I suffered an illness that prevented me from working without a job. I had no insurance and was in desperate need of surgery. Almost a year had passed without medical treatment, and I was dying. My second husband, Lord help me, had abandoned me at about this time, leaving me with a pile of debt he created in my name. I was sued multiple times, and I had to deal with overdrawn accounts. I was left alone to sort through these turbulent times, but just me and God. That was truly not living. So how did I go from the pit of pain to position for my purpose?
Wow.
I have to tell you that, you know, in the book, Sold Out, which has become a bestseller, it's spelled S-O-U-L-E-D, Sold Out, I share some critical information to help understand how did I go to my purpose? How do I even get there from the valley of despair? I don't know how many of you understand that it's impossible for you to truly fulfill your purpose without self-discovery, without truly understanding whose you are, and what God called you to do. If you are in the midst of these turbulent times and this devastation, all you are in is flight mode, survival mode. You're not walking in your destiny and your purpose. And as Vanessa, sister, as you mentioned, you know, going through these times, going through these situations is how you come to your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand that, but sometimes the pain is so difficult, the road is so hard, the times are so tough that you can't see anything other than this valley of despair. But in the book, I want to share what caused me to have a breakthrough, and that is that, you know, the first mistakes, I'm going to tell you the mistakes. Here's my self-discovery. Mm-hmm. I made decisions based on emotion. I lacked wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The second thing is I didn't take the time to find out who I really was or what I really wanted. I didn't know my purpose. I never asked God, what's my purpose? I used my own fleshly emotions, my own knowledge, leaning to my own understanding to make decisions for who I would be, who I would partner with, who I would be with, what I would do with my life. I never once asked God. And unfortunately, most of the decisions that I made didn't go well. And I know there are many people out there who probably are feeling that way. And then the third thing is I chose the wrong people to trust. Professionally, spiritually, and in marriage. And I finally learned what it really meant to be sold out, and that was to turn my whole life over to God, and that was the true turning point. Now, when I say that, I am not speaking from a person who was in and out of church, undecided about serving God. No, once I gave my life to God at age 25, I was in. I was all in. But I don't know how many of you know that we still, even serving God, going to church on a consistent basis, not playing around, not willfully sinning, not seeking ways of trying to falsify or behave one way at work and one way in church. That was not me. I was in, and I was going to church the whole time all this was happening. But those three revelations, they still played out in my life because those things are critical. Not giving everything over to God. Your choices in life, your choices in marriage, your financial choices. If you're not seeking God for all of those things, you're going to still suffer. Go to church every day, serve God every day, pray every day. If you don't give God all those things, you're still going to suffer the consequences. So, you know, when my back was against the wall and devastating threats were looming, I always felt like I had to come up with the answer myself. Instead of just sitting still and waiting and praying to God for an answer, I just got busy, running around like a chicken with my head cut off, desperate for a solution. My problem was thinking that I could control every outcome. I figured if I researched, I could find the answer. The problem with that was God was not my source.
Mm.
It was man's knowledge I was relying on. Man's knowledge, flawed. It's flawed. The self-help books, the classes I bought into didn't yield anything. I put all the burden on myself, and I was leaning to my own understanding and to other people's understanding and not God's own infinite wisdom and his understanding concerning me. Sometimes when people write, and sometimes when people, it's based on what they've gone through, but sometimes God will tell you to pick out certain things that apply to you, but you got to go to God for yourself, because what God knows about you and how your mind works and the plan that he has for you, it may not be wrapped up in a pretty nice package that someone else has presented.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be you going to God yourself. And, you know, it wasn't until I admitted that none of this stuff was working, fell on my face, and gave it up and gave it over to God and said, here you are, Lord. Here's my life. Here's all my decisions. Here's everything I thought I wanted in life. I can't do nothing with this. Here it is to you, God. You do something with it, because I've messed it up too long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I am now. Having given all to God, every single thing, he brought me out of the workplace, called me into full-time ministry a few short months ago. I want to say it was August of last year, after going on a fast. Sometimes y'all going to have to turn down that plate.
Come on now.
Because
Tell us about that. Some things
go not out but by fasting and prayer. So here's what happened. I had decided that I wanted something more from God. I wanted something more. I wanted a transformation. I wanted God to do something big in my life. He had already blessed me with a wonderful husband, and I did have a great job. It wasn't the perfect job. I really wasn't happy doing what I was doing. I knew there was something more for me than, you know, hitting that grind every day and suffering through the day, just wondering when it was over. So I said, Lord, I need something. So I began to get up earlier in the morning, early, 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 sacrificing my sleep, and I sought the face of God first.
Mm-hmm.
And I just began to place myself in his presence on purpose. And when I began to do that, he just began to reveal things to me. He began to open my understanding, and he began to pour into my spirit those things concerning myself. You know, sometimes we go to God, we get up in the morning, immediately we just open our mouths and just start talking. Well, sometimes you need to get before God, give him thanks and give him praise, and then just let him speak to you. If we're always running our mouth, how can you hear what he's trying to say? So I began to get up, and he began to tell me about me. He began to pour into me about me, and I began to make adjustments as God began to really just release and to let me know what he knew about me, things that I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And then around August, so that was leading up to August. So the Lord said one day, I heard him say, I want you to go on a fast. So I went on a fast, and here was my spirit about it. I was like, God, I want everything you have for me. I don't want nothing held back. But prior to going on a fast, after spending time with the Lord, is when this opportunity to write Sold Out just fell in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my chair, in the presence of God, having just communed with him, and then all of a sudden I get a text message from Cheryl Pelote Williamson asking me if I would like to be a part of this anthology, about 20 authors who come together to share their testimonies. I'd never written before. I never even knew it was in my spirit that I could even, you know, be considered to be a writer. But that's one of those things that God let me see was in me while I was fellowshipping with him at that time. And it came right then, right then. More fellowship with God means more blessings. So I got that opportunity, and I was overjoyed. And then he said, go on a fast. And I didn't, my mind was, I'm not going to eat nothing until you tell me. I didn't put a time limit on it. I didn't say I'm going to fast for 3 days. I didn't even try to, you know, come up with the creativity of what this fast was going to be. I was like, you know what, I'm just not going to eat. And so I was like, I don't care how long it's going to take. I'm just going to go day to day until you, I don't know how long it's going to be. I'm prepared for it to go as long as it can go. So the seventh day of no food, I didn't drink no shakes. I didn't have no smoothies. It was a cleansing fast with lemon water and maple syrup and cayenne pepper. And so that's all I drank for 7 days. On the seventh day, I was at work, and I heard, just like you and I are talking, like I hear your voice, I heard the Spirit of the Lord speaking in me and saying, go tell your bosses, because I had two bosses, that you are leaving for the day and that you will meet with them on tomorrow. He didn't tell me anything else. Now, many of them, what did that mean? I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea. I just did what he told me to do. I went to my boss, my bosses, and I told them, I said, you know what, I'm going to be leaving for the day, and I'll be back tomorrow. I want to meet with you tomorrow. And she kind of looked at me real strange. She's like, how are you going to tell me you're just leaving? She said, what you should say is, if you don't mind, can I go ahead and leave? I said, well, if you don't mind, can I go ahead and leave? She was like, okay. You know, we have to obey those who are in authority over us. Because at the end of the day, God set men and women over us, and we have to respect that authority that's over us. So when she said that, I said, well, okay, do you mind? So she said, okay, fine, that's good. So I got home. My husband was home. He came running outside because I'm never home. I work from sun up to sundown on that job, a lot of times 10, 12 hours a day. And even after I get home, I eat and I start working again because that's what the job required. And he said, what in the world? I said, I don't know. The Lord just told me to come home. So I think what I'm going to do, I'm just going to lay down and take a nap because I don't really know what's happening right now. So I laid down, and while I was sleeping, the Lord showed me this big meal, this all this food, and immediately hunger woke me up out of my sleep. I was so hungry, I would have ate him if he was sitting next to me. And that's when I knew, and that's when I knew that it was that the fast was over, because that hunger had overtaken me so strongly. But even as I recognized that the fast was over, the Lord told me, he said, I want you to submit your resignation to your job. And before you do that, and, you know, the right thing to do is submit a two-week notice, right? He said, but before you leave this house in the morning, I need you to take everything off this computer that you want, that you desire, that will be of some use to you, that is okay for you to have. So I got my flash drive. I downloaded everything that I had created, the things that, you know, I wanted to keep, and left nothing on there. He said, wipe it off. Just get rid of everything. And then I said, okay. And in my mind, I had been working on a project. See, at this point, I was at the top of my game at my company. I was mm-hmm. getting recognition. I was getting awards. I was poised for a promotion. We were looking for other opportunities. My plan was to retire from there. And I was at the top of my game at this point, and God said, it's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would question that, but I was like,
right.
I ain't questioning nothing, God. I just came off a fast. I can hear very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
mm-hmm.
not any confusion here. So I just did what God told me to do. So I went into work, and I told my boss, I said, I'm turning in my 2-week resignation. She sat there with her mouth wide open like, what's happened? She looked like she changed colors totally. She looked white
mm-hmm.
as a sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, what's going on? What's wrong? What's happened? I said, nothing. I said, you know, and guess what? God didn't even really tell me anything else to say. But
mm-hmm.
as the questions came, I wasn't prepared for their questions. But as the questions came, how about the word of God is true? Don't worry about what you're going to say. He will give you the words to say. And I'm telling you, God put the words in my mouth to
mm-hmm.
be able to share what it is that he was saying to me. He was saying, say to her that God has provided an opportunity for you.
Mm.
Then when I went to another meeting, because I had to have another meeting with her boss
mm-hmm.
and my other boss, I went into that room. And when I got there, see, she thought when I said opportunity, it meant another job. But when I got into that room, the Lord told me to tell him, God has called me to pursue my dreams.
Mm.
But then when they called the entire group of other supervisors together, because they have to alert everyone. They have
mm-hmm.
to alert everyone, all the other supervisors on the floor. They have to bring them together so that they can all be on one accord and be saying the same things. And this man said, you are leaving at the top of your game. You are leaving in the best possible position that you could be in this company. Here's my card. You can come back anytime you want to come back. If there's anything you need, you can call me.
Wow.
And they told me that normally when a supervisor leaves, that they are required to leave the premises immediately. So now you can see how God had me to get all my stuff together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I was leaving that day.
Right.
However, because I had found favor, they agreed to pay me for 2 weeks. So for the 2 weeks notice that I had given them, that was added time off that I was getting paid for in addition to any vacation time that I had not used.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the favor of God when he blesses you. And when they called all of the group of people together to come together, some of them, many of them haters,
uh-huh.
they were like, well, what are you going to do? Guess what? I didn't even have to answer. Someone spoke up and said, oh, so you're going to go into full-time ministry to do what you've always been doing? I said, yes, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Somebody verbally said that. Someone said that?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else said. So I'm telling you, step by step, God orders your steps when you can hear clearly. And from that moment on, from August up until now, let me tell you how the blessings of God has just literally just began to overflow. I have not wanted for anything. How about the whole 5 years that I was working? You know, you're working paycheck to paycheck sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're look, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, or you're holding this back to make that happen. Working a good job for 5 years, there were so many things that I still could not do. But by the grace of God, since I have left work and I have not had a job, I have been able to do more than I ever have having a job.
I believe it.
God's provision.
He will do it. Yes.
Oh, man, if you are in obedience, God's provision will overtake it, blow your mind. You can't even keep count of the blessings.
Mm-hmm.
So he has positioned me truly to not only write the book, but the book became a bestseller in that time frame that I left. He has opened the door for me to continue my women's retreat. So this year, when I do my women's retreat in fall, not only will it be with the church that I am a part of, but God has opened it up so that people from all across the United States are coming
mm-hmm.
to this
That's
retreat.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
We've gone from the initial 30, this is the third year doing this, we've gone from the initial 32 attending to now 70 with a wait list.
Mm,
I have
God
a waiting
it.
List.
Mm-hmm.
God will do it.
Mm-hmm.
God will do it. And I'll tell you, even on top of that, he has opened the door for me to be a part of your tour, pain, positioning, and purpose. I'm so honored to be invited, an invitation that is absolutely mind-blowing, to travel to 6 states and being afforded the opportunity to speak to people about my story so that others may be able to be helped. I am so in awe and grateful and humbled and thankful for that opportunity. I do not take that lightly. I mean, everybody doesn't get that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
Amen.
Doesn't get that. And then I've been invited to bring my women's retreat to Kenya.
Yes, that is amazing.
So I'm
amazing.
Traveling to Kenya
amazing.
To help women get free. So I'm taking people over on a mission trip combined with the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going over and we're going to be a blessing to the schools. And right now I'm talking to you from Savannah, Georgia. I came
mm-hmm.
here this weekend because I'm the name of the project in Kenya is the Kamkamani Youth Project, where a dear
okay.
friend of mine has donated her father's land to build
wow.
a school, a youth center, guest quarters for missionaries coming over to help with the school, and she is working to eradicate poverty in the village nearby where she grew up. And so
mm-hmm.
I'm down here in Savannah. After the interview, I'm going to head over to the flea market to help sell clothes to raise
mm-hmm.
money for the school.
Wow! Look at God. That
look
is
at God.
That is just truly, truly amazing. I'm so proud of you, and just It's a blessing to know you. And let me share a little bit about you, my interaction with you. We connected, it's been well over a year ago. It's actually when I, too, was in the Soul Source. I was in the Soul Source book in that particular
yes.
anthology. And we were beginning to, you and I were beginning to connect and communicate.
Yes.
Just briefly here. I think Cheryl say, hey, you two need to hook up. You are in Georgia. I'm not sure how we
right.
connected. But I know we connected, and then I'm like, okay, Lord, I know you were watching me, and I was watching you on social media, and we would
mm-hmm.
comment here and there. But then it was something else, and then I'm like, Lord, will we ever work together? Or I asked him something, is this
mm-hmm.
just somebody just to associate with by way of looking from afar or looking from a distance?
Mm-hmm.
What is this? And then this is how you know God's perfect timing. Then you also got into the Soul Source family, the sold out that portion of the anthology. And then shortly thereafter, that is when you and I begin to connect. And so the thing that people or we need to understand that our time, and because we do, we try our best to make things happen. And
we do.
And it doesn't work. But when we wait, and then when we wait not only patiently but with expectancy. And while we're waiting with expectancy, we're still working faith. We have to work the faith out. We have to work. We have to work. Whatever the case may be and the Lord gives us, we have to work that thing out. Faith without works is dead. So, you know, we have to continue to work. So just imagine if I had not been doing the work that I was doing while you were over there doing what you were doing, and then, boom, when it's time for us to come together, I wouldn't have nothing to offer. You know, it's just amazing. And the Holy Spirit just gave me that. I don't even have sense enough to think that deep like that. The Holy Spirit just gave me that. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. It's just the perfection of God's timing that will bring purpose out of us. And not just for ourselves, but for the world. So I just thank God for you being diligent, because you have not wavered since I've met you about your path with the Lord and your love for God. I mean, there has not been any wavering there. And just as you say, you know, you're not one of those ones that are doing this now, but then tomorrow in church you transition to another person, and then tomorrow evening you're somebody else. But you have been, you have definitely been, and you are a model for many women. And I just congratulate
thank you.
So much, and you inspire me so, and definitely on fire for God. And I really, really love that too about you. So keep up the good work. God is going to continue doing so, so much. And your testimony just about your job, your testimony just about God's provision, His purpose, Him positioning you, your obedience. I mean, all of that, it is so, so, so powerful. So I would just encourage you to continue. And you have more books
ma'am.
In you as well. So maybe we can connect on
they,
those
yes,
other
Yes, I do.
Books. Yeah,
I
you
got
have
more books in me. Yes, yes.
I will. I definitely would love to work with you with that and whatever else. As we said, you know,
Absolutely.
Now we are becoming partners in things. You're doing things that I in the future God wants me to do, and then I'm doing things that you in the future that God wants you to do. So that's again how is God's
divine.
Divine. We cannot really think about it. You cannot. We cannot.
Nope.
I cannot. You cannot. We can't come together and do the things that we've talked about doing in the last few weeks. We couldn't even get the timing right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could not.
Not at
timing,
all.
You know, and he blows my mind all the time. And I tell him that
always.
He blows my mind all the time. And I love him, and I just thank him. And I think it is time for me not think, but to go on a fast myself, but I know I can't go on a total fast for health issues, but I gotta get down and dirty with it. I got to get down and dirty with this thing with in the spirit and binding up the enemy and getting more revelation from God. And I'm looking forward to that. And I just really just want to commend you to continue to do the great works that you're doing. And even, you know, that even when we are doing the great works of God, you know, people will come against us. Who do you think you are now? Are you better than us? No, just doing what I'm called to do, you know. And Romans 12:12 saying, and this is about being set apart, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good
Absolutely.
And acceptable. And perfect. And there we go, that by testing. We got to be tested. Does it feel good?
Do.
No.
No.
Does it feel good? No.
No.
I'm in knots and balls and crying and doing what I need to do to get through it. But by testing, I want to pass the test. The one thing that I want to do in this world is please God. That is my first and foremost. I do not want to disappoint my Heavenly Father, just as I have not disappointed. I have disappointed my father in the past with my ignorance and foolish ways and things like that, but now he's so proud, and he'll tell me that, oh, I'm just so proud of what you're doing, and tear up and cry. And we cry about it simply because, Daddy, that is the fruit. That is the fruit of the prayers that now are being manifested. So thank you for not giving up on me. Mama is not here anymore. Grandma is gone. So thank you for laboring and up all night and pacing the floor when I was ignorant and just out of my mind doing things that I should not have been doing. What you're seeing now is the manifestation of your prayers. So thank you for laboring. Thank God that you are here to see me still doing things, but doing things in God's way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely,
yes.
Doing things in God's way. And that's the only way because, you know, like I was saying before, you know, you can go to church. And I think sometimes, I'm there. I was there. You know, you go to church and, yep, you hear the word of God. You go and you try to live it. But when it comes to decision-making time, sometimes we don't wait to hear from God before we make decisions. And, you know, you've got to give everything to the Lord. And as far as you mentioned about, you know, God, when God starts to bless you, you know, you will come into adversarial position. You will come up against people who are you know, lashing out, talking about you, asking you, well, who does she think she is, da-da-da-da, you know. And, you know, the Lord warns that, you know, you're going to fall into these situations. But, you know, he gave me a scripture when it as it relates to evil people. And to be honest with you, you know, it doesn't matter if people are in the church or if in the world, you know, if anybody is speaking negatively, you know, evil, backbiting, through enviousness or jealousy, if those words are spewing out, the Lord shared with me that when people spew out negativity, they are casting demons in your direction.
My God.
They are sending an attack in the spirit realm to torment you, because I don't know if anybody else understands this. You are well aware of and I am very sensitive to the spirit. I can tell real well if you are sitting there and you're not even opening your mouth, but in your spirit you have something of negativity, or you've been talking about me. I feel it very strongly. You know why? Because those are demonic forces that you are in your mind, in your speech. You are literally sending an attack in my direction.
Wow.
So I say this. God showed that to me. That's how we can be troubled. That's how we know when you enter into an environment and you just feel the animosity. It's so thick in the room you could cut it. It's because people have been talking. Every time when they open their mouths, these spirits have an assignment to go and attack you. You are giving permission. You, especially in the church, you don't even realize it. Just because you have the Holy Ghost, the enemy can still use you. And the truth is, if you're being negative and if you're speaking ill will, anything that is not edifying to the Lord, you know, if it's not edifying, then you're guilty of it. And if you're not lifting up, holding up, encouraging, not doing it with one hand on, you know, with one mouth, and then on the other mouth you talking to somebody else. And I don't know. I'm not feeling her, or I'm not in agreement with da da da. You know, all you're doing is being used of the enemy to send demonic spirits to attack your brother or sister, whoever you've spoken about, in a way that is not uplifting, then that's what you're doing. And so, God, you know, that's why we have to guard ourselves, and that's why we have to make sure that's not what we're doing either. That's what we have to make sure that we're not doing that, you know. And so you have to really just submit yourself to God through prayer and fasting to fight those demonic spirits. You do. And so God, yes. You know, he gave me a scripture, and I want to share it. It says, live such good lives among the pagans. And this is 1 Peter 2 and 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So, again, that's, you know, live your life before God in such a way that, you know, everybody sees the truth. And even though people try to tell you, you know, say what you're doing good, somehow there's some ulterior motive or there's something underhanded. You know, people accuse you for no reason, even not ever seeing that character played out in you. That's called envy and jealousy, you know. And he also talks about, for it is God's will that by doing good, and this is 2 Peter 2 and 15, for if God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people.
Powerful. And it's so true and so real.
Yep.
Wow.
You know, and so he says, you know, don't allow your evil. Don't allow, you know, yourself to do evil and then try to cover it up with good. And what that means too is, okay, here you are talking about people, here you are slandering people, and then you're going to try to come and say something good to them. You can't cover that up. God sees everything. And until we understand that God really means what he says, all he's going to keep doing, if we were to just focus on our own purpose, we wouldn't have time to be talking about somebody else.
Amen.
You'll be so busy being blessed and walking in your purpose, you ain't going to have nothing but love for everybody because God is blessing you so. But if you're so miserable that you really have to sit around and talk, all that energy and time could be spent in the presence of God or seeking God to fulfill your own purpose. I tell you what, I'm so busy right now. All I've got time for is what God called me to do, and he's sending me into the world. He's sending me, and he's shown me this is not all there is. There's more. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what the Lord has for those who love him. It don't matter what anyone says, what they like, what they don't like. It doesn't matter to God because God is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen. And he sure is.
Yes.
And the lover of our souls.
Yes,
and,
he is.
We'll keep our foot from falling. I mean, it's so true. I love everything that you're saying, and I would even invite you, let's talk when we're done here, invite you to lead some prayer calls, maybe one for the month of June and one for July. So let's definitely talk about that. I love this. I love everything that you're saying, your teachings. And it's so very, very real. And excuse me, people, if you're just logging in or tuning in, we're talking a lot about our walk, our faith, you know, people being people, but yet how God wants us to respond and not react to people. So please, if you're just getting this, you can listen to it later with an upload that we'll put out. But for we have about 10 more minutes, and with this 10 minutes, I want to shift to your take on mental health, your take on mental health, your take on mental illness, your take on stopping the stigma around mental health and mental illness. But before that, what is it that brought you, or what is it that really, really enlightened you or put a fire in you that wanted to join the Self-Discovery Pain Positioning and Purpose Tour?
Well, because the title and the very concept of it, it resonates with all that I've been through and what I already do. On my women's retreat, we deal with the pain that women are suffering with. And through that pain, we bring an exercise of self-discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive deeper into where this pain is coming from, and let's come face-to-face with it. And let's talk about, okay, you know, what are you doing in order to deal with this pain? And more importantly than that, I'll go even one step further. What are you doing to contribute to this pain?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll be honest with you, like I was saying before, a lot of the pain that came in my life were my own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
My own decisions. And so sometimes we bring people, things, situations into our lives that cause us these mental anguishes. So you can experience mental anguish due to the treatment of others, how people are treating you. You better believe that through rejection, through mental abuse, so you're going to suffer. As a rape, incest, many of these things, you're going to suffer. Your own self-esteem is going to be low. That is a mental condition. To literally have to endure, and this is from my angle, from my side of it. I'm speaking from my experience with. I went to several counselors. I went to several counselors because I needed help. I didn't understand what was happening in my life. And, you know, it was through God helping me to realize on the inside of me that, you know, somehow we don't think highly enough of ourselves, and we don't have a high deserve level. So we accept abuse as, you know, okay, this is what's available to me, so I'll go ahead and take it.
Mm-hmm.
We accept circumstances and not allow God to take control of them because we think that, okay, well, this is just something I have to deal with. And then you suffer needlessly on and on and on. And so, you know, through the women's retreat, we actually have deliverance. We first get free by sharing and identifying the problem. The problem has to be identified. So we go and we somehow take the Lord is meeting us there, and women are discovering, uncovering, recovering, you know, all those things that they buried way deep down inside. And I'll tell you, after my first divorce, I didn't deal with the pain. I ran from it. I got myself so busy into any and everything I could possibly do in the community. I was on this chair. I was on that board. I was a part of the school system. I was volunteering. If I could just consume every moment of my waking day with something to keep me busy, that was my coping mechanism. That was not healthy. Because I didn't really deal with anything. So how about when it came time? Well, how about when the enemy sent Satan in a suit? I welcomed this man into my life who made even a bigger mess of my mental capacity and my mental state.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
go ahead.
And so after going through that, that's when I was like, you know what, God, I give up. Here I go choosing another horrendous, putting myself in harm's way in another horrendous situation, and now I'm just totally devastated. I don't even know what to do. And that's when I gave everything over to God, and he revealed to me this. He said, this was the thing that set me free, and this isn't necessarily the case for a lot of you know, where you deal with suicide. I can honestly tell you some of the things that I've been through. Some people may have committed suicide. Some of the things that brought me through, there are people who could have used those situations and circumstances and found themselves in a way of wondering, do I even need to live?
Mm-hmm.
But God said to me, he said, it's your self-worth and your self-deserve level, your deserve level that is causing you to act like a victim. You are sending signals into the atmosphere.
Wow.
That's attracting people who are looking for victims. Your speech, your countenance, your behavior is saying, I'm a victim. I spent a lot of time talking about what people did to me. So when you do that, guess who you draw? People who are looking to do things to people. And
absolutely.
So by that, I was drawing to me desperation. I was drawing to me people who were looking to take advantage.
Mm-hmm.
They used the word of God. They used the word of God because they knew I was a woman of God. They used that to manipulate me. The forgive thing, the forgiveness, you must forgive. I mean, unlimited numbers of times. So what they would do is they would just go and do whatever they wanted to do, anytime they wanted to do, at all times of the day, night, didn't matter. But then they would bring this scripture up to me, you must forgive. You got to forgive.
Yeah. And there's power.
That was manipulation.
Total control
and power.
There's power in power, freedom, and forgiveness, and that's a whole nother show. Yeah, it really
that's
is. Because God deals with me with that, and I really had to go through that, and still going through that, and will have to the rest of my life. But with the last few minutes that we do have, I want to share. You know, mental health. Mental health is real. We have just a couple more seconds left. Mental health is real, and you know, mental health does matter. Mental health is just as important as our physical, our mental, and our spiritual. No, physical.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional and spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So if any
yes,
one of
is.
Those are out of whack, we are unbalanced. Mm-hmm. So the tour comes up about it's around mental health, mental illness, mental challenges, suicide, veteran suicide, bullying, all of those things that keep us in the silence, and to help stop the stigma. And that is why it is all the important that we come together and fast and pray to stop the stigma, because we know not who God is going to put before us. We know not that, but he's sending us out. And he's sending us out to do what he's called us to do, the Great Commission, Fisher of Men, and to plant the seeds so that he can water them. So I implore you all to please come to the tour that is somewhere in your area, in your city. We'll be in eight locations, and we will start here June 3rd, actually, which is not very far. It's going to be next Sunday. So we'll start here in Atlanta, actually in the Norcross area, and then from there we'll go to South Carolina, where we will be at, and I'm trying to pull it up real quick. Columbia, South Carolina, June 9th. Charlotte, North Carolina, July 14th. We'll be in Gary, Indiana, my hometown, July 28th. New Orleans, August 11th. Dallas, Texas, August 25th, Baltimore, Maryland, September 22nd. We'll end in Jackson, Mississippi on October 20th. Please join us in one of those locations. I do want to thank our special guest and my good friend and my sister in Christ, best award-winning author Robin Hare, and I look forward to the work that we will do in the future, and I pray that God will continue to reign, rule, and just anoint you with favor and his anointing. I love you, sister, and thank you so much for joining
us on today. Thank you so much, Vanessa. Thank you so much. And you all have a blessed day.
Thank you so much. And hey, guys, this has been my time. We'll be here next week the same time at 11 o'clock. And remember, faith, we have to work that thing out. Faith is the very substance of things that are hoped for and the evidence of the things that we cannot see. Trust God in all that you do. He's right there waiting. God bless you. God keep you. And you know what time it is. It's self-discovery time. Take care and God bless.